それでは、ストレージ
Now, without further ado, we would like to move on to the presentation on storage and electronic device solutions. The participants are Mr. Yasuo Naruke, company president. And we have a group manager of SDS business planning in IR division, and Mr. Koichi Tanaka. And now, Mr. or Dr. Naruke, please. I would like to give you the presentation on storage and electronic devices solutions company. My name is Naruke. Firstly, about structure reforms. Let's recap on what we did. In the latter part of FY15, we conducted the different structure reforms, and we terminated the white LED business of discrete, and system LSI-wise, we withdrew from CMOS image sensor business. Hard disk-wise, we accelerated the development in the enterprise. And in terms of SSD, it was relocated to the memory group. So we were able to focus on the main products and the areas, and we drew from non-focus areas. In terms of a system LSI, a wafer fab company, the utilization rate is 30%. And in terms of the remaining 30%, we would like to have the business of wafer fabrication outsourced to us. And so we have merged Oita and also Iwate operations and came up with Japan Semiconductor. And so we have reduced headcount by 4,590 people, and it was conducted in all the non-memory areas. And you see the details, including the overseas reduction. And in FY16, we are aiming at recording black in each and every business that we handle. Next, this is the organization chart of SDS. There has not been any major changes. We mentioned that we withdrew from non-focus business. And so the nomenclature changed. So logic LSI became smaller. And so it is a logic LSI division, and the memory division, we have SSD division. So in terms of the image sensor, CMOS-wise, we have to cater to the install-based customers. And in Iwate, we have a CCD, so we still have the image sensor division to look after all those businesses. These are our production sites. There is no major change. Yes. In terms of Oita's map, you don't see the 12-inch. So that's missing. This is the market projection. On the left-hand side, you see the overall semiconductor, and on the right-hand side, you see hard disk market. You see a dotted line, and these are the areas that we will be focusing on. Regarding semiconductor, the overall CAGR is about 1%, whereas in terms of the focus area, this is a storage and automotives and industrial, we expect the growth of 6%. Let's take a look at hard disk. On the second from the top, you see a nearline, which is for data center. The overall market will go down, but in terms of the focus area, i.e. the nearline, it will grow, and we will be focusing on nearline. How do we look at the market? There are different interpretations, but looking at the full year semiconductor, we believe that in the second half, there might be a slowdown. But in the first half, centering around memory, we are seeing a favorable trend. But there is a negative outlook for the second half, and so we will buckle our belt. And automotive is very favorable. And in terms of industrial, we see stronger demand as well. Regarding NAND, we are seeing an increase in the capacity. So because of the increase in capacity need, NAND demand is becoming tight. And in terms of the price in the retail area, we are seeing a deceleration of the price decrease, and we have to negotiate with the major customers. And I believe that we will be able to factor in the positive factor in our new orders. In terms of SSD demand, we are seeing growth in PC as well as enterprise. Let's look at the outlook of HDD. In terms of the PC market, it is sluggish, but we are seeing an increase in the supply request to our company lately. So in terms of mobile HDD, we are operating the plant in full-fledged mode. And also, we are seeing an increase in near-line HDD. Oh.
So this shows the plan for sales and profit for SDS company as a whole. So these are some of the points to highlight. So memory. So this is for the year 2018 plan is projected here. So 3D flash memory. So BiCS is what we call. So we would launch that. And, of course, we would like to further enhance the SSD business. Now, moving on to discrete radio frequency switches, power devices, and couplers are the focus areas. Couplers are basically optical relays. And in terms of system LSI, so for some of the image recognition devices on automobile and also motor control technologies. And so by doing that, we would like to promote ASIC for industrial markets. And also given our system design technology, we would like to further enhance the infrastructure-related customers. HDD, we would like to focus on enterprise. So as for FY 2018, in terms of sales, increase of 8% CAGR is expected. Also, in terms of profit, we have a rather conservative plan here. So this fiscal year, also for 2017 and 2018, we should get back to more of a normalized level. So by 2018, we'd like to get back to the normalized recovered level. Now, this is a plan for 2016 in comparison to the previous year. So in terms of sales, we would see a drop. But because of various structural reforms, those effects would be reflected. And therefore, for 2016, 32 billion of operating profit is expected, and free cash flow increased by 10 billion. And that is our expectation. So let us first look at the storage business. This is our product offerings and product lineups of our company. So on the right-hand side, we have more of a modularized SSDs and others. So they may not look like semiconductors, but obviously these will be the core products going forward. And HDDs are in the bottom. So, of course, the focus HDDs are on the right-hand side, the bottom right portion. And, of course, we have the NAND products towards the top. So some of the new products going forward on the left-hand side, we have BGA SSD. So that is on the bottom left. So this is a one-package SSD. So these are the product lineups. And we conduct dialogue accordingly based on these products. So let us look at the NAND market. So in terms of bit growth, a CAGR 40% will be kept. That is our expectation. And smartphone and data centers continue to be the drivers of the market. Of course, we have various numbers from a survey and a statistics company. And, of course, our sales are collecting information directly from the customers. So it is our estimate in terms of the market projection. But according to the most recent projection, and we like to correct and complement accordingly. So 2019-2020, possibly SSD will be in the increase and perhaps less contribution from mobile. That is based on the most updated information. And the recent performance, so it says the demand is increasing, especially for Chinese smartphones. We are seeing more increase in the very recent months. And also on the long-term basis, smartphones continue to be enhancement of a capacity. And beyond that, we expect to see demand from data centers. Well, this is the memory business strategy. So as mentioned already, the key point is 3D BiCS launch. And also SSDs to cope with the storage demand. Those are the key points. So the sales revenue projection, so for 2016, 746 or 747 billion, there will be a drop from the previous year. But going forward, there will be more demand for data center. So we expect to see an increase of the top line. Likewise, with profit margin, we should be able to reach that 10% or more level in terms of OP margin. So what is the impact of 3D then? And that is shown on the right-hand side. So 2016, so we have 48. It's just started the mass production. So in terms of volume, especially in the first half, is quite limited. It really depends on the certification of the customers, but we expect to see increase from the second half. Therefore, 2017, we expect about 50% contribution from 3D. So on the left-hand side, we have some notes and comments. So memory is highly volatile in terms of margin. And, of course, that has been pointed out by multiple parties. And that is true. It is very volatile. But after the global financial crisis, that is in 08, if you were to exclude that, in terms of RS margin, it has been trending just short of 10% to 30%. That has been the range. So this is for RS margin. So our target, our minimum target is more than 10%. That is our minimum threshold in terms of margin. So 300 millimeters building started to be operated in 2005. That's when the market started to really expand. So we have the picture of Yokkaichi operations on the bottom right. So right next to the Y building, Y5 building, we have this kind of a white building picture, and we are planning for a new clean rooms. Why is it right next to it? So this is quite similar to a new Y2. So this NAND facility in Y3. So in terms of 3D NAND, we will be using that in the top, in the very bottom layer. So NY2 would be conducted with CapEx to invest the stacking portion in the middle. So going forward, we have Y5 and the new clean room. So we're trying to plan the production to cope with the 3D. This shows the CapEx plan. This is on the commitment basis. So 860 billion yen for the 3 years. So in terms of the buildings, so new Y2 and Y2, it says, July, it will be fully completed. And on the south side, it's already been used already. It's been operational. And the next is the white portion, which is the new clean room. So we are trying to do the site preparation for the new clean room. So perhaps next year, end of next year, if everything goes well, we should be able to see the completion. So from the beginning of 2017, we would like to start the construction. So in terms of memory, when we talk about memory, it boils down to cost reduction. So 48 layers is the portion that we've started the production. This is what we call BiCS 2. And next in line is BiCS 3. I believe there will be questions related to this. So that's 64 layers for your information, 64 layers for BiCS 3. So within BiCS series, we will continue to reduce the cost through process migration. And beyond that, we are looking at RERAM. So in terms of LISO equipment, it will be on the liquid immersion. Excimer. And also nano imprint, we are working with Canon for the nano imprint lithography, NIL. So these technology we've introduced to reduce the cost. Of course, in terms of stacking, we are working together with equipment makers in order to enhance the productivity. Also, one of the features of our company is the fact that we have fully connected all the buildings through automated transport system, a feeding system, to have efficient operation.
In terms of Yokkaichi automation, and also all the facilities are interlinked, so the system is quite complex. And in that environment, we will have more advanced IT technology so that we will be able to improve our productivity furthermore. We have data from manufacturing equipment as well as the testing equipment, and those data points can be images, and we have a large number of data points. It is impossible for an individual to analyze those data points. So since last year, we had machine learning, and from this year, we have deep learning implemented in our Yokkaichi facility. On the right bottom, in the line, in the plant, we have the visual inspection analysis, and you see the samples of those images. Every day, we have more than several hundred thousands of these images. And about 50% of sorting is conducted by our operators, but we are trying to use deep learning so that it can be automated. Of course, we alone cannot do this, so we work with the Central R&D Center, and also we work with the INS company. Next, let's talk about products, and I would like to start from a smartphone. eMMC is a layered NAND package, and we have the controller embedded in it. And it is very user-friendly, and it was NAND 1 package. But the CPU of smartphone became more and more advanced. Therefore, we need to align ourselves with that advancement of CPU. And so with another entity, we standardized UFS. And we are starting to apply UFS in high-end smartphones. When you compare the performance of eMMC and UFS and look at the random read and random write and sequential read, you can see the performance has improved. And you have the CPU clock. So in terms of read and write, which is very time-consuming, it is very important to shorten the time of read and write. And that is one of the important features of the memory. So UFS is outstanding in this performance. So we would like to further expand our sales of UFS. There are only two players in the market. We should not just leverage on the current existing product. So in August this year, we will release a new product so that we can further accelerate the speed. As you can see in the bottom of this slide, we will be launching the product as indicated here. So in a day, what is the mode that is accessed per day? And this is the benchmark in which we try to compare our performance with the others. Next, let's talk about the storage business. C- cloud-based service is very prevalent, and data centers require SSD in order to accelerate the performance. Market trend-wise, it is very difficult to interpret the future, but when you look at the data center floor space and the demand increase of SSD for data centers, we can see for sure that the storage demand is increasing. And in terms of data center, SSD, which is depicted in green, is increasing, and also hard disk is another application for data centers. And at the very bottom, you see mobile hard disk, and the middle section is for enterprise. It's for a data center HDD. I believe that it will be a driver of the market. When you just focus on SSD market, the situation is as shown on this slide. SAS is very high in performance and is high-end product. And under that, you have a PCIe. This is a new specification, which might expand in the future. And at the bottom, you have SATA, which is the traditional data center SATA. And on PC tablet side, PCIe is starting to be implemented. In a SAS area, we have high-performance product, so we would like to keep the position and try to roll out new products one after the other. In terms of the volume, SATA will be replaced by PCIe, so we need to capture that market. So we will focus our development effort in this area. And also, we need to have the development center for customization, and it is already open in North America. And in terms of PC tablet, regarding PCIe, we will be able to get value add, so we will focus on PCIe as well in the tablet area. In terms of enterprise SSD, upper hand that we have, volume-wise, maybe not, but in terms of SAS, our volume and product is trending very favorably, and as a high-end product, we would like to continue putting our effort. Right now, we are putting our development effort the most in PCIe because the market is definitively increasing. So as you can see on the right bottom, we have America's Storage Development Center, which is located in Folsom. This is the area where customization can be conducted by engineers. And this has been opened in May. On the left, maybe you haven't heard about TSV technology. The heat is dissipated from the chip, and if you have layers and layers of NAND, the heat dissipation will be a problem. And in terms of that heat, there is a larger transistor that generates that heat. So we can do away with that structure. And we have a direct connection between the two layers. And this through silicon via is such a technology. So NAND cell, we will go with BiCS3. And we will try to listen to the needs of the customers to come up with new features. Let's look at nearline hard disk market. For some reason, we are enjoying large orders for PCs. But in terms of development as well as marketing, we want to focus on nearline. The major feature is large capacity. When you look at the market demand, as you can see here, the large capacity of a particular generation is on the top, and in the middle, you see 50% or 25% of the largest capacity version. And so high reliability is the key. So considering the future product, we need to have a citizenship in the minds of the customers. And I think that is the most important goal. And in the future, we want to use the helium version as well. What will happen to the hard disk in the future? There are different ways to calculate the number, but including the actuals, when you look at the gigabyte cost per SSD and the nearline gigabyte cost, by 2020, I believe that SSD will pale out as compared to nearline. And so in terms of the ballpark figure, some people say 2023 or 2025, but that will be the bit cross timing. Right now, high-end 15,000 or 10,000 cycle, that is being replaced. So high-end value add, they are looking for higher performance and response time SSD. And in terms of the recording and memory SSD, I guess it all depends on the price. On the right-hand side, you see the new technology that will be introduced. Next, I would like to talk about discrete and system LSI.
So for discrete and system LSI, it is very much focused on the automotive and application. However, when we speak of automotive and industrial, from the certification to the budget planning, there is a time lag. And therefore, up to 2018, perhaps we would not see a full-fledged impact from those applications. So that is quite frustrating, given the time lag. Now, in terms of automotive application, so for vehicle camera, so image recognition, to not go across the central lights and so forth, that it would be the application. And also inverters and power steering would be some of the applications. Now, for industrial, on the right-hand side, the applications would be train, so power, SiC, and also the power source would be the applications that we would like to focus on. So let us do a recap on the automotive applications. First is safety-related, for instance, ADAS, and also for information. That would be another area. And we would need NAND to store those information. So also we need the wireless chips to communicate those information. Now for driving, motor control would be the application. So here is specifically about the image recognition product. So this is a promotion of our product. So this is how we can identify people, pedestrians, and also the white lines. So face-to-face collision, for instance, has been on the rise. So perhaps by introducing this technology, we can prevent such accidents. So this is on a mass-produced vehicle. This is the chip that has already been deployed. Now, in the bottom here, this is at nighttime. So it is also highly effective in recognizing. So it's called Visconti 4. So that is how we call it. So this is a new chip that would be deployed going forward. So this is how they can discern the objects. So, of course, there are some lights, but they are able to identify the different objects even during nighttime. So in terms of the top product through Denso Corporation, so in terms of driving and fuel efficiency, in one of the hybrid vehicles, it's been introduced already. Also, as technology goes, we've been awarded with some third party, by some third party institutions. These are the solutions for industrial markets. So it's a fairly down-to-earth, perhaps not so conspicuous, but we do have high expectations for these solutions. So factory automation, robotics, and wireless. So a low power consumption, Bluetooth, a low energy smart mesh is a technology that we have. And we have power MOSFET for a different power supply. And we have MCU and analog IC for smart grid. And, of course, we have IGBT for transportation and power systems. So these are some of the core products that we will continue to focus on. Now, what are some of the strengths of our discrete? So for power device, so power MOSFET, aside from that, we have IGBT and SIC. So in terms of IGBT, from quite early in the phase, we've been able to commercialize the product. But we haven't had much of a customer base. That's why at one point, we've actually transferred some of the operation to Mitsubishi at one point. But now we've gone through that phase, and now we have a full lineup of IGBT within the company. Now, in terms of the performance, as shown on the right-hand side, so for powered-related MOSFET, this is a switch, basically. So the resistance, the smaller the resistance, the better it is within the switch. So this is the chart showing the internal or on resistance within the transistors. So in comparison to the competitors, the resistance is significantly lower, and that has been contributing. Now for RF switch, so within smartphones, in order to better make use of the radio wave, the bandwidth of the radio wave is quite narrow. Now, therefore, the smartphones would need to make some adjustment to receive such a radio wave. So using different switch, they can actually attach and also detach the capacity so they can adjust to the different frequency. And in order to do that, you need 10 or 20 switches or so. So that is where we have our strengths. And we have been able to receive many orders. Now, for photocouplers, this is used mostly for industrial use. So before, when relays were used, it's been introduced. But obviously, they're smaller in size. And also in the control side and the output side, it's fully insulated. And therefore, the demand is quite strong in this area. Now, for system LSI, we have been fairly focused in terms of the business. So in terms of image recognition chip, we are fully focused in this product, so that is on the bottom left. And also in the top, we have Bluetooth chip, and we have been awarded with this technology. What is interesting is for Google Aura project, actually now it's been promoted to a division, so it is ready for mass production this year. So this is used for connector chips. So easy order ASIC. So we can actually make the TAT shorter. Now, for Japan Semiconductor, as mentioned already, so 30% of our redundant capacity will be used for foundry business. So this is, and that's why we have this kind of a English-like name, and no Toshiba was in the company name. So, so we would like to continue to receive orders as foundry. So in closing, for 2016, the structural reforms is officially over. Therefore, we try to turn every operation into black. And also, we would like to launch the 3D Flash. So we ask for your continued support. Thank you.
And this completes the presentation from the company. So we would like to open the floor for Q&A. As mentioned before, I will call your name, so please mention your name as well as affiliation. And in order to give everybody a fair chance, I would like you to limit your question to one at a time. Person sitting at the very front. I am Shimada of Nikko Securities. I know that I have to limit myself to one. Please turn to page 14. You have a gigabit output base. And I want to know about the ramp-up. And in terms of this year, it's 10%. But next year, a bit base-wise, it might be 50%. I think that was what you told me before. And last week, I was abroad, and I talked to other investors, and you have confidence in the yield. And this counterparty said that he cannot really believe it, because you start from 48 layers, and all of a sudden, you can wrap up immediately, and nobody believed me that you can do it. So is there any secret sauce in which you will be able to improve the yield? Because I don't think you can enjoy this output unless you can secure high yield. And if you cannot realize your commitment, maybe you might be bombarded with questions next year. But I'm sure that since that you have disclosed this information, you are very confident that you can reach this output. So can you tell me what are the factors that give you such a confidence? That's the question I want to ask you. In terms of the ramp-up of BIX, in terms of the development, we have been engaged in the development for many years. We have 48-layer BIX, and before this, we had a pilot product. So starting from this spring, we will and we did start the mass production, and we are producing in large volume. And in terms of the difficulties of 3D, say we have 48 layers, and we have to stack those 48 layers, and we have to have a straight hole, and you have to have the channel trap structure within that hole. And you have multiple layers, and you have to stack it very delicately. And if you do that too quickly, as in the case of a very soft cake, you see cracks, or there might be some distortion on the top. Or you are going to have a very deep vertical hole, and you cannot define the degree in terms of the position from the perpendicular angle. And maybe you try to have the straight hole, but then there might be distortion in between, and that will be a defect. So the hole part is the most difficult, challenging technology. There are many equipment manufacturers, and we tried each and every equipment vendor's system, and we were assisted by their engineers, and we are adjusting according to the environment, and that is how we came up to the ramp-up stage. And there was a learning stage. One equipment was very good, so we tried to apply that same condition to the adjacent equipment, but then the end result was quite different. And so from this example, you can understand how delicate the matter is, and we did learn from that experience. And because of that learning phase, you might feel that we are very bullish about our future. We are lagging behind in 3D. And some people say that we are behind by 2 years. But we believe that if we put our heart in it, we can do it. And what's the base of that confidence? In terms of semiconductors ramp up, once you have some quantity of high-quality product, you will be able to analyze what is the cause of poor quality, and you come up with countermeasures, and you try to verify whether those countermeasures are valid or not, and you go through that stage over and over again. That means that we have a top-caliber engineers. So it all depends on the talents that we have. In 2D, we were able to have the high-caliber people doing good job. And starting from this spring, we started 3D. And we gradually learned what this whole business model is about. And we might sound pretty optimistic, but we believe that we can do it. I understand that you are doing very well. And other companies are going from 32 to 42 to 48 layers. And starting in Singapore, it seems that some company is installing equipment, but they are not actually going with the 3D mass production. And some analysts say that many companies are going to 3D and they're going to mass production. And maybe next year there might be surplus of the supplies. What is your understanding of other companies' 3D? Well, I would like to refrain from making any particular comment, but as you know, 3D has a high capacity per chip. So SSD and large capacity memory, high-end smartphone, these are the markets that we have to monitor. So metaphorically speaking, we will have the infrastructure, but we will try to look at the market to see whether there is demand or not. But you think that there is a demand? Well, in terms of 48 layer, we are going through the qualification with our customers. Thank you.
So, Kobayashi from Circle Cross. So I'd like to question about logic and discrete. So Japan Semiconductor. So in page 31, if you were to look at page 31, in terms of scope or products, you have linear sensor and discrete. So is it Mizushima and Oita, if you were to make the discrete there? So in page 29, the discrete here, would you also be making those at the foundry? Is that what you mean by that? Or 70% is for captive use, so within Toshiba Group. But if you have more product demand from within Toshiba Group, what would you do? So, for instance, that 30%, are you going to fix that for third-party non-captive use without doing any CapEx? So, and so if you have too much demand from within the group, for instance, for Visconti, would you actually decline the orders from the customers? And also, do you expect to have IPO in the future? So in terms of a discrete for Japan Semiconductor, so RF switch that I have been talking about. So this has been one of the founding products produced in Japan Semiconductor. So that's why it's included there, and all CMOS as well. And all the power devices will be made in Kaga and Himeji. So that's why it's not included. It's not included here. So in terms of power devices, then, so you would not do foundry business for that. In terms of a large power device, customer were to approach us, we may actually consult Kaga and Himeji to engage in that business. But power devices, so it has a bit of a limitation because you need to make some really fair fine-tuning of the adjustment. So it may not fit the foundry business. So in terms of hardware, so you would do that for foundry? So right now, we do not do any foundry. So but just the RF switch that we engage in. So in terms of the scope of products for foundry, then, so anything possible, is that the answer? Or if it's Visconti, for these products? Are you going to produce products that would potentially compete with Toshiba products? So X power devices, so small signal analog tips, or combine that with the signal towers, and for instance. So in digital products, we may make those in Taiwan. But in terms of analog products, it's more of an analog product foundry business that we have in mind. So what about the capacity? So also in the future possibility of listing? So we've mentioned 30%. It's just started with our business in terms of foundry business. So we haven't fully filled that capacity yet. So we'd like to think about it into the future. So if possible, we may need to expand our business somewhere. But for the time being, 30% is the target, and that we'd like to use that 30%. And also given our current product offerings, some are high in profit margin and some are low. So also we need to identify those products according to profitability. And of course, we need the understanding of the customers to do that. So in the future, what about IPO? So for instance, if you have some of the external foundry businesses, if they want to list, is there a possibility Toshiba's stake will be 70% and the external customer stake may be the remainder 30%? We would like to be flexible. So we do not like to reject any possibility. Any other questions?
Person sitting at the front. Second row from the left. I am Ichino of Tokyo Tokai Research Center. I have a technical question. On page 16, you talk about 48 and 64 layers. And in terms of 3D NAND, a limitation, it will be 96. And right now, 32 to 96 layers will be the max. That means that this technology will be viable only for the next 4 to 5 years. And as you wrote here, you have nano imprinting. And in terms of the technology, what is the limitation of 3D NAND? Can you enlighten me on your comment? So in terms of 3D NAND, you are conducting much CapEx. And how do you depict the ROI path? Well, what is the integration level is the big question. We haven't defined the limitation of 3D yet. As it says over here, I think we can do more than 100 layers. We have to make each layer as thin as possible. So that layer thinness determines how many layers we can stack up. We don't know the answer yet. But we will, for the time being, pursue the layering. But we know that there will be the limitation. So we will look at ReRAM as well. How is NIL involved? In terms of nano imprint lithography technology, as you know, you actually can conduct several millimeter imprinting. And in terms of BICS, you have to miniaturize the wiring. But if you want to use that in the miniaturization of the memory, ReRAM, it is matrix in terms of a crisscross structure, so you will be able to fully leverage on that crisscross matrix technology in ReRAM. On page 18, you have a NAND controller, and you said that there has been an enhancement. Therefore, you were able to record world's fastest speed. And in terms of NAND controller, in terms of other companies, there are many developers, but you acquired this technology from outside. And I thought that you were not able to develop NAND controller, but you made some improvements. So including Intel, your technology is catching up with the other industrial players, and you have high-caliber talents already. In terms of the controller engineers or design engineers, they were in a game CPU areas. So system LSI engineers have been relocated to a division some time ago. And we came up with the original design team. And the high-end SAS, which is an SSD, has been improved, and we were able to launch high-performance products. In terms of the design channel, there was a shortage. So SATA and PC application were the large volume, but we did not have sufficient channel. So OCZ is the SSD manufacturer that we have acquired. And also, including the mid-career we hired, and now we have sufficient channel to expand our business. And on top of that, the relationship with the customer is very important. So as you can see on page 21, we have established America's Development Center. Thank you.
So
the person in the second row is the hands up. Thank you very much for the explanation. My name is Miyamoto from MUFG Morgan Stanley. So in 16, page 14, so you talked about NY2. So 80% of the floor, it will be equipped with the facility. But according to that explanation, so the Korean 3D top maker next year, in terms of shipment volume of 3D NAND, so perhaps a fairly a large, similar level of a shipment is expected. So could you comment on that point? The competitors' discussion, it is fairly difficult to make a comment on that. And, of course, we've heard that they will be investing in a fairly large amount. But what we can say for Toshiba is for 3D NAND, the market that we can use the 3D NAND. So we would like to have a capacity to have a significant share within the market. So that's why, and perhaps half of the floor would be a 3D. So I don't know if my calculation is right in terms of volume. So about 500,000, would that be the capacity for the planar? So on a bit basis, it would account for 50% for next year. So in terms of NY2, 80% is equipped, then will you be looking at 300,000? So in terms of capacity, in comparison to the competitors, would you have an edge over the competitor? So again, it's fairly difficult to assess what it would be the assumption of what the competitor's volume be. But personally, we're planning for an equivalent level of a shipment. But in terms of total capacity, it is not all allocated to us. We would also be sharing with SanDisk and others, SanDisk. So we do not comment on the actual volume. Thank you.
Person sitting in the front. I am Matsuhashi of Goldman Sachs. About the profitability, you have FX sensitivity, and if there is 1 yen fluctuation to a dollar, what will be the fluctuation of your profit? So can you tell me how you calculate the FX impact? You are shifting to 3D BiCS, and I want to know what will be the trend of bit cost. And please elaborate on the FY16 and 17, and if possible, 18. I'm a layperson, but if I may, maybe you are betting on the bit, so to speak. So you are shifting to 3D NAND shift, and I was wondering, in calculating the bit cost, it might be very difficult to actually come up with a reliable number, but can you at least try? Firstly, about FX sensitivity. Unfortunately, I will not be able to respond to that question. But say if it is 100 yen to a dollar, and July-wise, it might be 100 yen to a dollar. And in that case, the selling price decrease is slowing down. So I believe that we will be able to meet the target of FY16. Now, about bit cost. We are handling 15 nano, and we are going to 48 layers and then to 64 layers. And we believe that 64-layer will be the key. But in terms of the market, there is a sales price decrease by a certain percentage. But I believe that we will be able to still come up with a profitable business even with a decrease in the price. Gigabyte-wise, it might increase by 40% if sales is in the two-digit first half. And so I guess from these two factors, you will be able to understand what will be the profit. Say about 20%, and we already can capture profit with the cost reduction. And in terms of the bit cost, say there might be chips that are defective, but they are actually sold in the retail or the gray market. And that is the given from years ago. We will have spare bits, so we will definitely ship out only the high-quality products. So even though we fully launch BiCS, I do not want the market price to go down just because there are some defective products going down. So is it correct to understand that logically there might be a decrease because of the shipment of the defective products by chance? But you are trying to stop that so that you will not push down the price. So we will assume that the defect rate will be high. So we will have spare so that if a certain part of the chip might be defective, by rewiring, we will be able to actually ship those products. So we will have redundant bits so that the quality can be assured and so that we will not have any defective products out in the market, which will lead to the reduction of the selling price. Thank you.
5列目の方。
The person of fifth from the back or from the front, rather. Micah from Credit Suisse. Slide 14, please. So on the right-hand side, the production plan on the right-hand side, my question relates to this. So next year, you have 50% contribution from 3D. That is the plan. So if you look at the cost basis, so 64 layers, BiCS3 will be the main part of this. So 50%, the 3D NAND. So what will be the proportion of BiCS3 then for next year within that 50% of 3D? Also, given the certification evaluation period, I believe a majority of the application will be towards smartphones. So could you also give us color as to what the application will be? And also, if you look at this chart, so you and SanDisk together, 35% is the market share right now. So what about 2D? If the 2D capacity were to significantly decline, then so given the market climate, the Chinese smartphones capacity will be doubled going forward. And it's not likely that they would start using 3D next year. But if that's the case, the supply and demand will be quite tight for 2D. That is the expectation. So could you also comment on that? So for next year, so 64 layers proportion for 3D, so 64 layers. So for 2017 average basis, so we'd like to make that a mass-produced product by that time. But in the second half of this year, we will be launching the mass production, and it really depends on our launch plan and our ramp-up plan. So 2017, at least in the second half of 2017, we'd like to make the majority of the production 3D. That is 64 layers. It was in the second half of 2017. But as you rightly mentioned, in terms of 2D, whether we have enough capacity, and what if there are enough customers demanding those? I think there are two ways to look at this. First, where we get priority is the 3D used SSD market. We would like to see how the market will grow going forward. And if it's going to grow favorably, then we would like to put priority on the supply of the 3D over 2D. Of course, we would like to also address the needs of the customers who want 2D. So that would be the best case scenario for us to accommodate that as well. So there is a possibility, actually, the breakdown may somewhat change from what we have shown here. So if that's the case, then, so for enterprise and SSD, if there's growth in those areas, there will be less proportion of 2D then. Is that the right way to interpret this? And if that's the case, the 2D pricing will be on the rise given the tight situation in the market. So for 2D and 3D, how should we look at the profitability of these two? My apologies for not explaining it well. So how we are going to allocate? And that is actually trying to understand how much profit that can we do. So we're not trying to have a constraint move and move to SSD. Any other questions? The person in the front, please.
About data center demand. You did not talk about a storage cross-memory, and I believe that VRAM or ReRAM, when are you going to start providing that? And in terms of NAND, it was consumer-oriented, but in the future it will be data center-oriented. And that means that the longevity of NAND becomes a question, and the data center is in full operation. And so I believe that there will be replacement demand as well. So on page 13, you show the flow, but in terms of stock base, I don't know, maybe it might be 5 or 10 years ago, you had non-installation, and I believe that there will be replacement demand as well. And when it comes down to 3D, I believe that the lifespan will be shorter as compared to 2D. So having said that, can you tell me about data center NAND as well as data center ReRAM? Storage class memory is the hot theme, and we will continue developing ReRAM. And in terms of storage class memory, how we are going to use this facility, I believe that we need to work on the next generation of BICs, but I don't know whether we will be able to accommodate the need of the storage class memory leveraging on the current product. But frankly speaking, including the customer, we don't know the definition of storage class memory. But, of course, since there is a market need, we want to capture the storage class memory market as well. But we don't have anything concrete yet. Maybe it might be the speed, which might be the most important factor, or maybe it might be non-volatile product, which is not DRAM. And high-end server has many batteries, which are very small in size. And so you have to have a trade-off between the battery. So there are so many moving balls. What was the other question? Oh, about lifespan. When NAND is used for servers, when you click the internet, there is a very quick response time. So all flash and NAND are used for that mechanism. And so read, write frequency, becomes the most challenging point for NAND at data center. So in terms of read and write performance, a planar device has the tunnel. So each time there is read and write, the tunnel membrane actually deteriorates. But in terms of our 3D and other successful 3Ds, we have the charge trap type. So we have a much a tolerance to read and write as compared to a planar version. So I guess a 3D is very optimal for the front end of data center. I think there is lifespan and also the use case longevity. Because in terms of the PC, if you don't use it and if you just leave it without any usage and if battery is off the whole time, you will not be able to use that device anymore. Well, in terms of the retention, there will be no problem unless you exert much heat onto it. And actually, three segmented copies are being done at data center. So even though one part might go down, other redundant portion will be able to take over. So there will be no data loss. And so in terms of the replacement demand, what is the situation? And because you had the high speed NAND and because of the lifespan, are you seeing any replacement demand? Well, we haven't seen that yet. Thank you. Any other question?
The person in the very front, please. Matsuhashi from Goldman Sachs. This relates to shipment of NAND and also about the bit growth. So last year, and the last year, last 12 months, so every quarter, the disclosure of how much has been shipped. So I think in the fourth quarter, you've increased by 30% or so. That's in the fourth quarter of last year. So this year, you're expecting 40% growth. So that may be difficult to explain that in the linear basis, given the growth from last year. So bit growth, unless bit growth is moderate, we could expect to see a much higher growth if we were to just simply calculate that from last year's trend. So this year, are you expecting some slowdown in the bit shipment, for instance, a mid first one digit? Or so is there a reason that you're expecting some more sluggish slowdown shipment for the bit shipment? Could you give us the reasons behind that? I have briefly touched upon it in my presentation. So the data calculated here is somewhat outdated. So given the most recent data, the first half of 2016, we expect to see growth. However, in the first half growth of 2016, the majority comes from Chinese smartphones. So the last year, 86 gigabyte, but this year is 32 gigabytes. But we haven't seen a full realization of the sales of the shipment. So if all the smartphones maker were to buy, and if they were to sell accordingly, then we may see a much stronger growth this year, but we haven't factored that in within our plan. Understood. Thank you.
Any other question? Then one final call. This is my second round. I want to confirm one point. On page 14, you mentioned about 2D and 3D, and within the operation, there will be some shared process, and I want to know whether you can share the process between 2D and 3D. You have a high capacity for 2D, but you have to ramp up the capacity to manufacture 3D. So process-wise, can you leverage on the 2D process to quickly ramp up 3D? Can you tell me the relationship between the two? In terms of the facility for 2D and 3D, on page 14, you see Y3 and new Y2. They are adjacent to each other. And Y3 is 2D 300 millimeters, a first fab. So we have completed the depreciation. And in terms of 3D NAND, lowest circuit, Y3 has that facility. And because a planar NAND has been manufactured in Y3. And also in Y3, we have a metal wiring layer above a transistor, and also the passivation at the top layer are accommodated by Y3. And in new Y2, we have the facility to stack up the upper layers. And so there will be a circular relationship of the in-work or work-in-progress products going around the facilities. So we will have new facilities in new Y2, but we will try to optimize the recipe. And so the monitoring and checking must be conducted in Y3 as well. So in terms of the traditional 2D, we have engineers who are very talented, and we do have top-notch engineers in magnitude. And we hired mid-career, so we have more people to accommodate our facility. So in terms of the positioning of Y5, how will 3D be accommodated? Part of 4Y5 has 3D advanced equipment, but the majority of it is 2D facility. So right next to Wi-Fi, we will be constructing a new clean room, and we will have a multi-layer process technology. And so Wi-Fi and new clean room will be a pair, as in the case of Y3 and NY2. Thank you. This completes the presentation.